7.9.
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah.
Time now for the Empowerment Hour here on Praise 107.9, presented by the Jacksonville Urban League and First Thursday Jacksonville. Here's your host, Dr. Richard Danforth of the Jacksonville Urban League and Larry Williams of First Thursday Jacksonville.
And Jarmin Leitner. Good morning, Jacksonville, and welcome to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9 this wonderful Saturday morning on Labor Day weekend, extended holiday. Many people have Monday off, and I am here as your co-host, and joining me on the line is Larry Williams, as well as Dr. Richard Danford. Good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning,
Jarmin and Dr. Danford, Steve, and our listening audience. Happy Saturday and happy Labor Day weekend. It looks like it's going to be a wonderful weekend, aside from the hurricane that has everybody up in a roar in and around the state of Florida and other parts. You know, hoping that the storm passes and everybody comes out safely.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Good morning, Dr. Danford.
Well, good morning, Jarmin. Good morning, Larry. I'm in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And obviously, I'm concerned about what's going on in Florida and certainly Jacksonville, but. I'm here, and all I know is that God is good,
yes,
all the time.
Yes, yes. That's the song that was on prior to our show. That you said I'd survive, so we just have to trust God, you know, because he's got us, and we just have to prepare, you know, not panic, and do what we can do, and just stand, you know. And right now, currently, the latest track that I saw was that it's going to just come up the coast of Florida and not, you know, hit Florida directly. That's just what I saw. So like we know that it could change, because it's not predicted until next week, you know, Tuesday or Wednesday, that it's supposed to actually, we're supposed to feel that those effects of it. But it's still supposed to be high winds, damaging winds, even though it's not going to, you know, actually cross the state or touch the peninsula, it's still gonna potentially cause some damage. So we have to stay prayerful.
Yeah, and you know, it's always interesting, because the ebb and flow of a hurricane is unpredictable,
right.
And you know, especially predicting it out almost 4 days now. But, you know, it is what it is. When it comes, it'll be there, and then it'll be gone, and we'll be back to normal. But, you know, in the midst of all of this stuff, there's still a lot going on, John, and Doc, and around in and around Jacksonville. The hurricane has caused some folks, some events to be canceled and rescheduled, and I believe there are some things, gentlemen, that we talked about off the air, some
yes.
activities and things that have been canceled. You have a list of those things?
Some of the school's activities, of course, this weekend have been canceled or will be rescheduled. I'm trying to see. There's a couple of youth academies. All activities at Duval County Public Schools are canceled for this weekend through Monday. A lot of things are just canceled because of the holiday anyway. And Jacksonville University will be closed on Tuesday as of right now. And so will Florida State College at Jacksonville and Edward Waters College. So it would just, you know, behoove everyone to stay on top of what's going on. You know, we got smartphones and tablets, TVs, you know, where we can access the latest news and closings and cancellations.
Not everybody has those, but hopefully
many people have access to it.
Have access.
I would think most people, okay, have access to it.
and as you mentioned off the air earlier, a lot of folks have these smart tablets, smartphones, and things, and they're still not technology literate. So, but just be on the safe side. You know, if you feel that you're in danger, and as it gets closer and nearer to, you know, the actual touchdown time for the hurricane, that you're safe and in a safe place. So that's the main thing.
Yes, and Larry, you just mentioned you know, some people are not technology literate. Well, there is an article concerning, I guess, whether area colleges and universities are doing what needs to be done to help students meet the workforce needs of business, and it's all centered around technology and being savvy in technology and how technology is ever evolving, and that students need to be prepared to meet the demands of employers when it comes to technology.
Yes, and I'm sure that as you and anyone else talk, and folks that are, you know, involved and engaged in the everyday activities of running businesses and organizations, we realize the need for more qualified folks to be preparing themselves for the actual technology success that is evolving around the country. And most of our students coming out of college aren't prepared, for the technology that even exists today. And if you're not, preparing yourselves in the colleges and high schools and technical schools aren't preparing our students for today's world, then, you know, we're going to be in a bind and forever having to import folks who do have the STEM education, right, and are prepared to, live in the 21st century and work in the 21st century. We have to be better at preparing our students and our young people for today's world. Some of us have missed the boat, so to speak, as far as technology is concerned, and probably won't catch up. But that doesn't mean that we have to give up. We have to keep on working at it and finding those ways and those opportunities to educate ourselves. And if we're not getting it at the schools where we're attending.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Well said. All right, Dr. Danford, anything you want to share? Quiet.
Well, I'm not, I decided not to do the homicide tracker this morning. I thought I'd let it rest for a while and maybe until next week.
Okay.
I'm prayerful that we'll have a safe holiday weekend, you know, aside from the hurricane and the remnants, maybe the high winds, et cetera. I understand that the school board is continuing their quest for the tax. They've had several lawyers to look at this, but let me go on record imploring these two entities to work together. I mean, our kids, mm-hmm. we've got to think more about our children. And I tell you,
yes,
it seems as though we're so enamored with money and with greed and buildings and glitter and I just don't know if we're really focusing on the things that will make our community better. There's so much distrust in our community, and it's not just a black and white distrust. I mean, it's almost a disease that we're feeling. I think that we need to pull up we are in a spiral, and who's willing to step up and say, hey, we can do better. Let's do better for our children and for the community as a whole. Let's provide opportunities for the citizens to be able to provide input into the governmental services, the budget and the programs and the buildings.
Yes.
And, you know, let's spread some of the resources such that those communities that are experiencing the most pain can receive some help.
Yes.
Our communities are crying out. And so that's my take on it. I want to focus going forward on doing those things that are going to help our community and that are going to bring our communities together. I think that there's enough for all of us, for all of Jacksonville, and it shouldn't be based on your political persuasion. It shouldn't be based on how much money you have or how much money you're trying to get. It should be based on what is best for the total community.
Right, and what's best for the total community, as you were stating, is for it to be equitable, so that all students can be prepared for this ever-evolving technological business world that they're going to have to be prepared to be able to function in and to be able to thrive and to be successful. You know, we talk about sustainability. Well, you know, keeping the half-cent sales tax and the opportunity to have funding so that the schools can be more progressive, that hinders the community as a whole, because there will continue to be negative consequences and effects of not educating our children and providing them with the things that meet them at their point of need. So that was a great point, well, Dr. Danforth. And we're going to – oh, go ahead. We have about a minute.
No, I was going to say those are great points and great thoughts and ideas, but it's unrealistic because it's not happening. Okay, we got folks that down in the city council and in the mayor's office that are countering everything that the school board and the school board and district is trying to achieve, and basically holding the city and the students in hostage. And I know we got to go to a break, but let's put it out there. This is not rocket science, y'all. This is just plain old, politics 404.
Well, we're going to come back to that. We're going to continue our conversation. And the telephone number here is 831-1079. That's 831-1079 if you want to call in with any questions or comments. And we're going to take a music break. We thank you for tuning in to the Empowerment Hour this morning on Praise 107.9. And we'll be back.
I'm amazed at you. Oh. I'm amazed. I'm so
nature of our God.
All right. Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I'm Jarmin Leitner, and joining me on the line is Larry Williams. Dr. Danford is traveling, so we just wish you safe travels, Dr. Danford, on your Labor Day weekend. So we Larry and I were off the air talking about what Labor Day weekend is all about and why we celebrate it. And I wonder, do many people, you know what Labor Day weekend and why that's even set aside? But from my understanding, you know, forgive me if I don't explain this correctly, but it's based off of the American labor movement. I think back then workers were having problems with some of their rights or the way that they were being treated. So there was a movement around laborers and workers, and a holiday was set aside for that.
Can I chime in?
Yes.
with the official deal about Labor Day?
Yes.
So Labor Day in the United States of America is a public holiday celebrated the first Monday in September. It honors the American labor movement and the power of collective action by laborers who are essential to the workings of society. And it is the Monday of the long weekend, known as Labor Day weekend. So there you go. It's a celebration of labor. And I don't know why we're celebrating labor, because not many people labor anymore. But
many people are celebrating, don't know that that's what it is. I mean, we have a Monday off. But, okay,
And most people do it. And if you ask the average person, including myself,
I did. That's why I wanted to put it out there.
What Labor Day is, we just say, hey, it's a day off. It's almost like, Dr. King holiday, folks. It's a day off. They don't have to labor that day.
I think more people know what Dr. King and why we celebrate that holiday.
You'd be surprised.
So we're going to get back to Duval County School Board. And again, the telephone number is 831-1079. If you want to call in, you're welcome to.
No one's calling in. They're running from the hurricane. Dorian has them in recluse. You know, they're hiding somewhere. You can run, but you can't hide from the storm, y'all.
Stop, because people still have their phones. So we were talking about the Duval County School Board and the sales tax referendum that has been going on for a few months now. And it looks like what's being reported is that there was a state audit that was done. Okay, so just want to put out what has been going on surrounding this, because the Duval County School Board has been trying to get this referendum on the ballot this year, and then there was a possibility that it would be on the ballot next year so that voters could decide for the increase that would provide the funding in order to support the schools and the new buildings and just being more progressive in Duval County school system. But they have passed the requirements, the state audit says, so they meet the requirements in order to move forward with the sales tax vote, and the school board had okayed the funding for charter schools within their plan, which was asked to them, Larry. I think that was a part of it too, is they wanted charter schools, the city council or whoever's responsible for approving, they wanted that to be a part of what Duval County Schools would do with the money, and they agreed to that as well. But then we come back and hear that the city council has just withdrawn referendum altogether.
Let's be honest out here. You know, the mayor and the city council, not all the members of the city council. Let's make sure we're upfront about that. There's the current council and the city council, and right now in the last Tuesday's general city council meeting, president and the council cleared the chambers, and you know, folks, the taxpayers, the voters, and the folks who have should have some say so in this, so that they can have their vote in peace and not have to answer to the people. You know, they in clearing the council chambers, they also cleared the state senators, state senator Audrey Gibson of Jacksonville. Was ordered to leave the chambers,
and this was all in the meeting surrounding the sales tax referendum. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Anyone who's speaking out against the or in favor of the sales tax and the school district having the opportunity to put it on a ballot for. The public to vote on was asked to exit the chamber so that they can have their vote in private. And to me, that's just a blatant disregard, disrespect for the voters and the people of Jacksonville. You know, we voted these people in, and now we should make sure that we vote them out. If they're not going to take care of the will of the people, then they shouldn't be in office. And that's just the bottom line.
So what does that mean
if
you're
going along with the get along, then it's always going to be that way.
So what does that mean now that the city council has withdrawn the half-cent sales tax? Does that mean that there is no opportunity for it to even be voted on and passed through the committees?
Absolutely. I
mean, No. Okay, so that means there's not even an opportunity now for it to be on the ballot for.
Let's put it like this: as far as the city council and the mayor is concerned, no, it's not. As far as the school district, they plan to continue their legal opportunities and to pursue this. And I think what you're going to see is that it's going to be a fight in the courts and. The city general counsel, who is appointed by the mayor, of course, is against it, and he's supposed to be the top law enforcer for the city and represent all of Jacksonville, not just the city council and the mayor. But it appears that that's the direction that he's taking, and the city, the school board now is left without any recourse except to try and find some help through the courts.
So what can residents do who are advocates for the school system and their children and their students? What
John, it's not much you can do when you get kicked out of the chamber of council during the meetings, the public meetings, quote unquote. What can you do? Number one, you can continue to appeal to your representatives who are against it and the next time the vote comes around, you can vote them out. That's the best way to handle that.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
And we have a list of folks that are in lockstep against the school district having the audacity to place that half-cent sales tax on the ballot so that the public can vote for it. It's a shame when we get to this point where we feel that, we have some power and then we abuse and misuse the power that the folks who voted you in gave you and provided you and with that opportunity to represent them, and then you go and become selfish and derelict your duties as council members.
Yes, well, like you said, we need people in positions of leadership and power that will do what's best for the entire community. So, I just encourage everyone to, we need to just pray for our children, our students, this leadership, while we're concerned about this storm that's coming through that's going to pass, these things continue day to day in this community and in this county. And we need to be mindful of that and just continue to see.
John, I agree with we need prayer, but we need action too.
Yes, in addition to prayer, I agree with that as well.
Yeah, Yeah, because you got to get off your knees sometimes, y'all. You got to get off your knees and go down to these meetings and get thrown out. But when you get thrown out, get out on the sidewalk and protest. Do whatever you need to bring light to the action of what's going on here in the city of Jacksonville, and especially down in at City Hall. It's appalling.
So it sounds like residents need to be more assertive in a positive way and instead of apathetic.
Absolutely. Yeah. Get off your knees and go down and start protesting. That's the only way that you're going to get something done, apparently, in this city. And even when you're there, you're being ignored as a citizen and your rights to protest in a peaceful and safe manner. If you're not going along with the council and the mayor, then obviously you're not going to get any action and traction in the city of Jacksonville. But this has to change, y'all. This can't not be a dictatorship government.
Yes, and we are going to take another music break, Larry. So, again, the telephone number to all of our listeners is 831-1079. That's 831-1079. This is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9, and we'll be back.
To be honest, sometimes I wonder if it's come time to pack it in. If I've given my best and there's nothing left, so my best days are at an end. Oh. Then I remember that you would never let me face what's next alone. I know that you're keeping me strength when I'm weak and expect me to carry on. I know that the Lord is preparing me for great things. But on days when it's hard to believe, hey, I want to live
right now, life abundant.
Claim every blessing you have for me. Sometimes it feels like I'm too way down, running to fly but stumbling to the ground. Yeah,
and I remember that you would never
ever leave your child behind. Oh no,
you're with me right where I should be,
and the reasons I revealed in time.
I know that the Lord is preparing me
for great things
I have yet to see.
But on days when it's hard to believe, I'm gonna sing that one more time. When I'm anxious and lose my way,
Lord, you are preparing us for great things. And we just welcome everyone back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. And we, again, want to encourage you to call in. We have our telephone number and our lines are open. It's 831-1079. That's 831-1079 if you want to share any comments or have any questions. All right, Larry.
Hey, John. Okay, just back for a brief moment here on the hurricane, Hurricane Dorian, and the folks if there are people that are adversely affected by the hurricane when it hits is there's a Florida's First Coast Relief Fund has been activated to support nonprofit disaster relief services. So, you know, this is a fund that was set up in 2016 by the United Way of Northeast Florida United Way of St. John's County. And it's a community foundation. Their funding is basically not really, quote unquote, it says for nonprofits, but it's really for the Red Cross and Salvation Army. That's where the almost $250,000 were allocated to those particular organizations. So, but in the event that you are adversely affected, you can call the Red Cross and or United Way and get some more information about relief for damages, or if you're displaced or any of those types of things during the storm. And hopefully we, you know, we'll miss that storm, we'll miss Jacksonville. But in the event that it does, I'm sure JEA is prepared to respond appropriately, even though that they're apparently going to be up for sale, and we don't know what will happen when it's privatized. But anyways, that's another story for another day.
Currently, it's been reported on the news that they are gearing up for any after effects of the storm. So so this relief fund that you mentioned, it's for those who have been affected could be possibly affected in the natural disaster, but it's not for all nonprofit organizations. It's just for the Red Cross, and you said the United Way.
Well, United Way is a funder.
Okay.
And
Red Cross is the recipient, and so that's where people would have to go, to Red Cross, and not to their churches that are nonprofits. Can they have access to this, or this funding is specifically
the nonprofits have to apply for funding.
Okay.
It's only available to nonprofits, this particular cash or money.
Who provide relief. Disaster relief.
Yeah.
Okay.
Correct.
All right.
Okay.
So that,
it just has the fund has to be activated, which has already been done. So again, this is last year in 2017, donors in these two counties gave over almost $4 million, and I guess 34 organizations were awarded helped more than 253,000 people during the last catastrophe, which was what was the last hurricane that went through the Irma.
Yes.
So, okay. So anyways, that if the fund is available
and if you need the assistance,
go down to the Call the Red Cross of Jacksonville and the Salvation Army. Those are the big two large organizations that have the funds.
Okay, Salvation Army, that's the other one. So they can contact the Red Cross or the Salvation Army in the event that you need some disaster relief assistance or resources in the event of this current storm. So, Larry, we're talking about technology and it ever evolving, and just the things that are going on in the city in reference to Duval County schools. And, you know, without new buildings, it's going to be difficult to have an innovative building, for them. It's impossible to without rebuilding or just constructing new buildings that can help them prepare for just the workforce. And their Governor DeSantis says that there's a company that's being reported that's coming from California, I believe. It's an online personal finance company, and they're going to create 498 jobs in Jacksonville. But you have to have some training and experience, you know, in the area of technology. And for them bringing these jobs, they're seeking incentives in state money and city money. And the city council has approved for them to receive funding. The total is about $990,000 to add an additional 198 jobs to the 300 that they're already bringing. And the approval for this funding has already gone through. So they will, this company will receive this $990,000 in incentive kickbacks for bringing jobs here to the city.
Right. And that's just the city's portion. There's a total of $1.5 million in that's actually being...
For the whole incentive, but so the 990 is just the city and the state's portion? Yeah, this is...
Well, if I'm reading correctly, gentlemen, that there's $1.5 million in city incentives for the operations, the opening of the operations center in Jacksonville. And that center is purportedly going to hire 300-plus people by the end of 2021. Okay, but in company, which is called SoFi, S-O-F-I, or Social Finance Inc., has been lured to Jacksonville under the, actually being paid to come to Jacksonville with taxpayer dollars supporting it, and the grandeur of creating 300 jobs.
Well, an additional 198, and that's where that $990,000 incentive is for those additional.
I'm not seeing all of that. I'm just telling you what I see and know as far as what's being reported. Okay, that the type of company they're bringing in, really, you know, that company it's an online student loan refinancing and a company, and it's a finance company. It's a financial services company. So we don't know what the sustainability of that is going to be. But it's purportedly bringing jobs in, and the company is located and headquartered in San Francisco. And I assume that from what we are hearing is that Jacksonville will be the first venture into the Florida area, and they have offices in Montana, Utah, New York, Delaware, Virginia, and California. So we can always find dollars and without blinking the eye for money for a business, but we can't seem to get on the same page. Our politicians can't seem to get on the same page when it comes to the education and housing of our students.
Yeah, and we know education
and
is the key.
Children, education is
even to be able to get this
money behind it, though.
Right, but even to get these jobs.
Sit there and say that, the education is the key, but apparently it's not the key in Jacksonville.
Well, the jobs are potentially coming by 2021, and again, you have to be have the training and the background to qualify for those 498 jobs. And I guess in essence, whether it's short term or a long term, Larry, that will generate revenue in the city, correct? Increasing the jobs, there is a benefit to that.
Absolutely, okay. Absolutely. I mean, I'm not dissing the jobs and the business itself. I'm just talking about the priorities of the city government.
Absolutely, absolutely. It seems that the priorities are not in order, because our children are first. They're the next generation. We should be pouring into them so that they're prepared for these ever evolving jobs and the opportunities that are out here, and we're missing opportunities, not just because children aren't being provided the type of environment that's a positive influence on them where they're able to thrive, and then we have children that are dealing with mental health issues and academic issues, and then that's not being addressed, and they're crying out for help, and they really are. And it is sad that the city can't come together and realize the importance of that and how it affects the children across the county.
Yeah, gentlemen, but you know, just think of the just look at this picture. Look at the big picture here. Okay, so we're bringing in these companies, high tech companies that will employ people, and purportedly will the average salary on these jobs will be about $54,000 annually. So keep that in mind. But you know, why bring the new jobs, technology jobs, to the city when we're not educating our students and workforce to be able to get these jobs? Well, who's going to get the jobs? Who's going to take the jobs if we're not preparing our people to have the ability to even apply for them?
All right.
Where the workers' force is going to come from? Come on, you guys, let's get it together. You know, education is the key, right? But let's put some invest in this education, especially in our public schools, so that everyone has an opportunity to participate.
All right, and see, on that note, we're going to take another music break, and we are coming up on our Entrepreneur Corner, where we encourage our small business owners, entrepreneurs, to call in and let us know about your services or products or even events. And that number is 831-1079. This is the Empowerment Hour, and we'll be back.
When I was moving fast, he had to slow my roll. Out of in control, next episode. Now look here, see, when you think about when everybody counts you out, see, he the only one that probably really helps you out. I'm talking from experience, you hearing this? Tell me you gon' be a reverend. But how could I see what she's saying when I was seven? I didn't wanna go to hell, so I kept stepping, rapping for the Lord. No weapon will be formed. Sunshine on the grind, take me through the storm. Seems like he tested me again, but on the flip side, it's like he's blessing me again.
Yes, he continues to bless us. He's blessing me. He's blessing Steve. This song's got Steve in the studio just dancing, so I'm excited to see that. So welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. Yes, welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. And I'm Jarmin Leitner, along with Larry Williams. And we're here bringing you just information about what's going on in the city, and sometimes across the country. You know, a lot of things are going on that affect where we live. Right now, this is our Entrepreneur Corner, where we ask our small business owners to call in. And we do have a caller. We have Miss Julia of the Jacksonville Urban League sharing some information with us. How are you, Miss Julia?
I am doing just fantastic. How are you this morning and everybody in the studio?
We are well. Thank you.
That's great. That's great. Well, of course, we're not the small business piece, but we do have a small business component at Jacksonville Urban League for anyone that's interested in, you know, of course, expanding their business or starting one. But I'm calling in today to talk about some things that we're doing in the community, and especially on September the 14th, it's going to be our 7th annual Historic Springfield Community 5K Run Walk. And so we're very, very excited about that. It's going to be held at 1601 North Main Street in the Wells Fargo Bank Building. They're one of our partners. We're also partnering with Health Smart Program for University of Florida, UF Health, and Humana. So that partnership is taking place, and there's going to be a senior strut. So that one is for persons that are 55 and older that want to come out and walk with us and kind of strut around. Ms. Finley has put in a little one-mile strut for the seniors. So definitely we want all of those persons to come out. And then one of the big things that is happening is the Great American Franchise Expo is partnering with the Jacksonville Urban League. And so they will be at the walk as well. And they said, we are the premier trade show platform offering education about business ownership. So it's a great collaboration and a great partnership. So we want everybody to come out and learn about this. They're going to have some seminars on franchise law, accounting, financing, real estate, marketing, and much, much more. And one of the great things, Jarman, is they're going to give away a free VR headset for the first 100 attendees. And okay. The tickets are free, but you do have to go to the website to purchase those tickets. So it's
a VR headset. I was coming back to that. I knew you were going to say the VR headset, you know, for those who are technologically illiterate, that is virtual reality. That's that virtual reality headset that goes over your eyes and your face. And is that what you're talking about?
Yes, that is the VR headset. Yeah, for the first 100 attendees. So I'm going to try my best to get there early so I can be one of that number. Now, just in case I don't make it, it'll be all right. But I'm going to try to get there early so I can be in that. But definitely the virtual reality headset. And it's free. You know, you can get in for free. They got free tickets. And if you're ready for the website, it is www.franexposa.com/Jacks Urban League. So it is a great partnership that we're doing with this particular company. And, you know, just bringing everything, like Larry's saying, bringing those things together in the city of Jacksonville, because that is something that we need. So all of this is going to be held on September the 14th.
Yes. Okay. September the 14th, and that's going to be out at the Wells Fargo.
Yes, the Wells Fargo Bank Building over there in the Historic Springfield Learning Center, Historic Springfield Learning Community Center is where everything is going to be held. It's going to be great. It's going to start. Registration starts at 6:30 a.m. and the race starts at 7:30. So it's going to be a grand affair, and this is our 7th event. So we have more and more people coming out every year, and with this elaborate partnership, we hope to have more people to attend.
Now, what's the address, Ms. Julia? Do you know
it
the address?
It's 1601 North Main Street.
Okay.
It sits. The bank sits on the corner of 6th and Main.
Yes. Well. Harvest plans to be there, but I'm not sure how I'm going to be able to get that down and be in the studio. You said it starts at 6:30 and the race is at 7:30, so I'll just have to come over as soon as I'm done.
Yes, because we'll still be there. It's just, you know, people like to walk early in the morning. And so, you know, ahead, get the walk done, get the walk over with. And then there'll be a lot of festivities after the actual run, because the senior strut is not going to start until like around 9. So you'll have time to come over and, you know, and participate. Not saying that you're a senior, but.
I'm not a senior, but we do provide services to seniors, so I'll be there right on time. We'll be there. Harvest will be set up and ready to go. All right. Well, thank you.
One more plug.
Okay,
Having a youth event. It says, "Are you future prepared?" And we want to help prepare our youth for the future. So we're having these interactive workshops on September the 7th. And it's going to be at our 903 Union Street West address. And it's for ages 12 to 17. So we want to make sure, Larry, that education is there for them to be equipped for these jobs that are coming to Jacksonville.
All right.
Absolutely. And thank you for that, Julia. And what is the, on the 7th, what is taking place now?
Now, that's a youth event. We're going to have that at, in our office at 903 Union Street West. And the title of it, we're going to have five interactive workshops. One of them is helping them to create their own vision board for the future. Another one is don't be the status quo. You know, there's a scientific method for why bees stayed in the jar after they were put in there for a while by an actual scientist. So we're going to have that demonstration. And then we're going to let people know that money don't really grow on trees. You know, sometimes we think we get money and we just spend it and not save for the future.
Yes.
So we have several workshops. There's going to be a principal there. He's going to let them check their ACT and SAT scores. And then we're going to help them make the right choice, you know, for whatever they want to do for their future. So all of this is happening at the Jacksonville Urban League, 903 Union Street West, September the 7th, and it starts at 10 a.m. Our doors will open at 9.
All right. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's a very supportive program.
And I particularly like the part about the bees in the jar, because that sounds like the voters in Jacksonville.
Hello? Go ahead. No, you can go ahead. It sounds like the voters. Is that what you're going to say in Jacksonville?
I said the bees in the jar sounds like the voters in Jacksonville.
Okay. Well, this youth program, you know, it's just great to see that, you know, there's some supportive programs out there that are going to help equip our children and our students, you know, like the program that the Urban League is offering.
Right, and we need more programs like that in the community, and especially in the African American communities and communities of color, Hispanic communities, and the poor communities, because apparently we're not going to be able to get that relief and knowledge in our public schools, as far as this administration is concerned. Because we're not going to have the proper facilities for those technology-based programs, and I'm just fed up with this city council president, the mayors, the administration there, with their lack of sensitivity and towards our students and our children. So that being said, I'm going to leave that there. And jump on my knees like everybody else, and get up Monday and start doing some things to make a difference. It has to be a change.
Yes, it has to be a change, Larry. And again, parents have to get involved as well for fighting for what's right for their children. These supportive programs are accessible. There are, you know, resources available, but again, they're supportive programs, you know, and the core of the time that children spend, they're at school. You know, that's the bulk of their day, and that's where those innovative methods to reaching them, and that technology and everything that's going to help them to thrive in the 21st century needs to be. And if it's not going to happen based on what's going on now, again, residents need to get involved so that some change can happen.
Yes, and as you said, parents, but everybody. This affects all of Jacksonville. You know, if we're not preparing our young people for the technology that's available today, tomorrow will pass us by, and we'll be still sitting there like the bees in the jar.
And for college, you know, to be able to be prepared to take the ACT and SATs and be competitive to get into college, you know, into a school, whether it's a four-year university or two-year, you have to be able to have some skills and demonstrate skills to enter into the next level beyond high school. So we just, you know, again, people understanding that we need to help and be supportive to our children so that they can be prepared and have the foundation that they need.
Okay, John, that sounds like we're getting to the end of the show. Have we talked about Harvest and things that's going on there? There is the entrepreneur.
We haven't talked about Harvest. We've been talking about all these other things. But, yes, Harvest, we are here and we are providing psychological testing and counseling services. Our telephone number is 904-595-6516. We service children ages birth, and we also serve up to seniors. So if you have any concerns about your students, we definitely are testing for that dyslexia.